any brand that says, you know what, we've been doing this, we got lazy. We went on autopilot. We got complacent. No more. I have more respect for a brand that does that than a brand that's like, no, 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 no. Our stuff's always great. It's always cool. It's always this. It's always that. You know what? You're freaking human. And if you are not making mistakes, that means you're not exploring new territory. Growth involves new territory. Every day of the week, new territory means what? Oh, territory we're not familiar with. What does that mean? We got to try things out. What does that mean? Oh, there's risk. So you're going to tell me you're going to grow and have no risk? Well, then that's called death.
Welcome to the Rockstars Rocking Podcast, powered by Voluntary Disruption, a show dedicated to people who are crushing their business and life goals. These are bite-sized conversations with leading rock stars in their respective industry who are pumped to share their story to help drive you to the next level. So, are you ready to rock? Speaking of rock stars, here's your host, Eric Silverman.
Hey, rock stars, welcome back to another episode of Rockstars Rockin'. And boy, do I have a rock star, the rock star of all rock stars, if you ask me. And anybody that knows this guy, let me introduce you to my new good friend, I'll say that, David Breyer. What's up, David?
Hey, man. Good to see you, Eric.
I appreciate you coming on the show, man. For those that don't know David, and I find it hard to believe you wouldn't know the name David Breyer, but for those that may live under a rock somewhere and not know this guy, let me just tell you a little bit about him. So he is Google's number one rebranding expert. I love how he says he's the slayer of the mundane. He loves disruption. He's a best-selling author of Brand Intervention. I'll read it because I don't want to mess up the quote and have them yell at me, not that they would. Damon John from Shark Tank, CEO of FUBU, he said David Breyer is brilliant with branding. Grant Cardone, 10X himself, said David Breyer is a branding genius who will revolutionize the way you do branding. And Claude Silver from VaynerMedia, the chief heart officer, she said that she wishes she had his book at the beginning of her career. I mean, talk about a guy that spends time with high caliber, high quality individuals. My goodness, that's amazing. So again, thanks for coming on, David. If you don't mind, I want to get right to it and ask you some questions that I've been dying to ask you.
Bring it on, man. That's why we're here.
So first off, if you're listening to this on a podcast or you're watching this on my YouTube, I sincerely appreciate it. Go to risingabovethenoise.com. And when you get to the website, risingabovethenoise.com, you're going to see something, at least to me, that popped immediately. And I was like, holy shit, this guy's creative. And he knows what I'm going to say. The first thing I saw was my mouse moving. And I see this handsome, debonair dude on my mouse. Instead of an arrow pointer, it's literally your head. I think that's your head. Yep. Where does that idea come from? I've been to a million websites. I've never seen such a thing.
Well, I'll be very, very, very honest where my inspiration came from. Remember when they killed off Mr. Peanut from the Planters?
Yeah.
And then they had like Baby Peanut.
Yeah. Right.
So I guess that was him. I don't know if that was him reincarnated. I don't know if that was his offspring. I don't know what nuts do when the lights go out. That they actually, do they bump nuts and then they actually like produce little baby nuts? I don't know. It's something that people might ask themselves and wonder about. And so I did, but what happened was I was so amused by their whole, like, how would you breathe life newly into a brand that has been around for decades and decades and decades? How would you make it fresh and new? So they end up like killing off Mr. Peanut and then they had the little baby peanut. So I was like, this is fascinating. I was like, I was digging what they were doing, how they were shaking it up. And so I went to the website. Whatever the hell it was, whatever it was called. I don't know whether it was like Mr. Peanut's dad or whatever the hell it was at the time. And I went there and my freaking cursor was like a little Mr. Baby Peanut. I was like, no. I'm like, I called up my web programmer immediately. I said, dude, how can we turn my cursor? we gotta turn the cursor into something. And it's very funny because, you know, like probably 49 out of 50 people go, oh, I love that. Oh, that's so cool. That's crazy. I can't get it out of my mind. Oh my God. And like, there'll be one person out of 50 that will say, dude, that destroyed my user experience. I couldn't click, no, didn't know where to click. I'm going, you know what? With those kinds of odds, I'm sticking with the head.
Dude, it's literally the first thing. I mean, you got a kick-ass website, but I could not, I'm literally, it's on my second screen and I'm playing with it. Like, you know, I got David looking at things, he's touching things. That sounds weird. But I think it's brilliant. And I don't even know how many IT people get asked that question. Can you put a logo? Oh, you could do a logo. Could you put a logo or a head as the mouse cursor? I don't even know that that's something most IT people would even know how to do.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's well, put it this way. If you're interested in doing it, I'm sure just need to ask. Just keep asking and be stubborn. Be stubborn about your curiosity.
No doubt.
One thing that I would say, if anybody got nothing else out of our discussion today, be stubborn with your curiosity. Never give up your curiosity.
Definitely. Definitely. So let me ask you a question, right? I'm a small business owner. I'm an entrepreneur. I think I've had a little success over my 21 years. I feed my family. We do well. My employees are fed. I've never had to downsize, even certainly during the pandemic. And I'm proud of that, right? But I'm just going to be very honest. I look at a guy like you. I see you on LinkedIn. I absorb the shit out of your content. You and all the other friends of yours, it's incredible. And I appreciate the value you bring. But I look at DBD International. I look at David Breyer. And I look at risingabovethenoise.com. And I feel a bit intimidated. I'm a small guy. If I want to grow my brand, is there something that you personally and or your company can help me afford to do as a guy with 5 employees? I'm not the mega Damon John type company, because I want to ask that because maybe there's other people that see that, you know, and they're a little intimidated about Fast Company and Forbes and New York Times and all these places that have written so many great things about you.
It's a very good question and it's a legitimate question. It's very funny because I think that anybody in business always wants to make sure that they're seen in the best light. And, you know, where's that sweet spot? I mean, put it this way. I don't seek out the big Fortune 100, Fortune 500. I'm not like, for example, like Gary Vee, he goes after a specific profile of client. I don't, for a number of reasons. My business model is very different. I personally work with every one of my clients. I don't hand someone off to, oh, they got, hey, good, you know, and I'll check in with you. Good to meet you. And I onboard them. And then I check in with them in a little period of time. No. I work with them personally because I know the process. I've been doing it for 40 years. And so I very much by design have chosen to work with small to medium sized businesses because I love how nimble they are. I love that they don't have the layers of, oh, let's have 14 committees and let's have 75 approval processes and let's have like bureaucratic layers of red tape that just strangle the living shit out of initiative and innovativeness and being willing to challenge convention. So that's the thing that I go for. So sometimes I am asked that, what you just asked, and people are surprised.
I'm surprised, in a good way.
Well, some are surprised because they're like, well, I don't think that I can afford you. What's it going to cost? And I say, well, it's going to cost you blank. And they go, oh, I can afford that. And others are like, oh, I can't even touch that. And I'm like, well, and those who can't touch it, they can't touch it. But I'm... Put it this way, for those of your listeners who are listening who are going, hey, I've had the same question and I'd be interested in talking with David. The bottom line is the worst that can happen is we drink a good coffee together, virtually over a Zoom call or whatever like that. And we decide, okay, it's not a good fit. But more often than not, most people are because I'll tell you this, the flip side of when I ask the questions that I ask, which is, okay, so what's your monthly revenue? What should you be doing? What's the gap there? And what are you leaving on the table? And you're telling me that you don't have this to actually invest. And if that simple math doesn't make sense to you, then we shouldn't be working together anyway, because you won't be able to understand where I'm headed. And so that's the answer.
I appreciate that because you know, my personal experience, like, it's crazy. The marketers and salespeople, they don't always have a target audience, which is sad. But I was heavily courted as a company when I was doing a rebrand for my actual business company by the name of Voluntary Disruption. I was courted by web company, design company after design company, logos, you name it. And the one that I actually fell in love with, the one I liked, they were courting me. I never heard of them until they found me. When they gave me their first draft of a brand, of a proposal, of a quote, it was astronomical. And I said, guys, maybe you think that I'm bigger than I am. And literally I'm talking to the chief marketing officer and she said to me, quote, for the most part, you have such a, and again, I'm not you, but she was at the time saying I have a presence on social media. She just assumed I had more of a budget. And then we went back and forth and I said, well, so you're overcharging me? She wasn't, but she thought I was one of those bigger companies.
Right.
So bottom line is I wanted to work with them and it just didn't fit for where I was in my business years ago and the direction I was taking it. So I appreciate you saying that because like myself, I don't share a lot about what I do for a day job online. You do, but you don't talk about that I've seen. You don't specifically say we are designed for small and mid-sized business. The large mega companies find us. So to hear that is very refreshing for me and maybe anybody listening that's in my shoes.
Cool.
Let me ask you this. Is there a ratio of revenue each year that you would encourage an entrepreneur like myself to think about when it comes to spending money on branding, rebranding, and developing vis-a-vis 2%, 5%, 10% of annual revenue? Or I don't even know if I'm asking the right question, but has that question ever come up? And what would you say to something like that?
It's generally kind of, it's a very big, broad umbrella that you've just kind of opened. You know, are you talking about how much to build our brand, how much to have, because there's a lot of different layers, but I would say on the average that a company should be looking at probably somewhere, depending on their margins, in the 10 to 15% of their gross is what I would basically be looking at. And I'm going to complement that with this component. So much of the stuff is free, quote unquote, meaning like what does it cost me to drop one post or more a day on LinkedIn?
Right.
Cost me my time, cost me some other things that are priceless. It costs me paying attention. It costs me looking at cultural things. It costs me taking note of the topics that are capturing the eyes, ears, and minds and hearts of the public. And so that's the stuff that I talk about a lot. And I'm always, my whole criteria is this. If I don't leave at least 80, bare minimum, has to be 80 or more percent of the time that I am not leaving a person going, whoa, I didn't know that. Whoa, I just learned something. Whoa. That blew my mind. If I'm not crossing that threshold 8 out of 10 times, I am letting my brand down. I am letting the person down who has taken time out of their feed to choose to stop at my stuff because I spend time making sure that it's going to grab you by the balls or the lapel, whichever's easier to reach. And so it goes, bam, it's like, hey, and that's what people love. So That's my thing is that, yes, you're probably looking at a 10 to 15% investment is what I would basically say is a ballpark. And if you're doing it really smart, you're going to be able to milk that a lot with a lot of free opportunities, repurposing, et cetera.
So you mentioned how social media is, there's no cost. So you take a couple of minutes, you put something together, you post it, see what happens. I was on your Clubhouse earlier today and we could talk about that, but while you were on Clubhouse for an hour and a half, whatever it was, did you see that LinkedIn was down worldwide?
Yeah. And you heard my response when someone said that LinkedIn was down and I
missed that. I must've missed it.
Oh,
I'd love to hear it.
Someone said LinkedIn's down right now because someone was talking who was referencing LinkedIn. Someone in, at the moment was looking at literally in real time, trying to check out their profile and their content and this and that, the other. And someone said, LinkedIn's down. And I said, well, of course they are. And someone said, what do you mean? I said, the Business Rebels Club, which is what Cher Jones and Andy Foote and myself, we put this little, together as the Business Rebels Club, like, which is brand, crush, repeat as the slogan. So I'm like, of course I'm branding the shit out of that. And so I'm like, well, of course they knew that we were on for this hour. They were like, we can't compete with that. We're just going to shut it down. And when they're done, when they close out the room, we'll bring LinkedIn back up. That was
that happened. That happened. So that's my question. I did. I heard Dale on there today. I heard all your it was a great conversation. I apologize. I missed that part. I'm glad you reshared it here. But that's my question. LinkedIn's down. The whole world freaks out. I literally went to Twitter and typed in LinkedIn down to see what popped up because I was like, maybe it's just my computer, like a lot of people do. And but that's the question. What are we doing to diversify our social media free channel? For what it's worth, I'm not doing as good of a job as I should. What are you doing? What would you recommend your clients for branding purposes?
Well, what I did, I mean, I did about a month ago, and actually, you just reminded me. I always am paying, looking at opportunities. You just mentioned that I did a post about close to a month ago. It was a carousel on LinkedIn, and it talked about the factor of taking ownership of your network, whether LinkedIn goes down or whether, like what Twitter's been doing, where they've been going, oh, we don't agree with a bunch of people's viewpoints. We're going to cancel 70,000 or 100,000 accounts. It's like, eat shit, Twitter. I mean, give me a break. Who the hell are you? There's plenty of people that truly warrant being canceled, and you're just going it because you have a particular ideology one way or the other. And so to not leave oneself susceptible, I basically encouraged, I said, look.
That scares the shit out of me.
I understand. So the thing is that I literally, that's why you've got to be, from one standpoint, you could say, well, you kind of have to be a little bit of everywhere. That's one approach, which I personally, I'm not like Gary Vee, where I have a 25 person team just handling my social presence. I mean, he has 25 people just doing that. Now, so the thing is like, so if you're actually a smaller operation or you just are like, hey, I don't necessarily want to be everywhere. Like I never jumped on TikTok. People said, hey, David, you got to jump on the TikTok. I'm like, I value my marriage, you know? I mean, and so the thing is, you know, I mean, could I keep myself busy 24/7 with every social channel? Sure. But with all of that being said, my whole thing is take regular initiatives to help encourage and migrate people over to your list. Nothing will trump your list. Like right now, I mean, there's some people who I know who have a million plus followers on LinkedIn. They have a very small, like really small personal actual email list. To me, that's stupid business. You're going to have a million plus and you're not migrating at least, you know, 1,000 of those a week to your list. Are you out of your freaking mind? And even at that pace, you're still only dealing with what? I'm dealing with, so it's 12 months. So what, 56? So that would still be only 56,000. Even if you just did 1,000 a week, 56. So anyway, so the whole thing doesn't make any sense. So that's the thing. Be proactive in giving people a reason to connect. So you actually have a relationship. Do not put your survival on the back of something that could shut down tomorrow.
I completely agree. You talked about email. I get it. What do you think about the, call it new, but the newer rage of brand building with respect to getting folks to opt into your text message service so you can capture their cell phone? Is the cell phone the new currency picking up where emails left off?
I think it's definitely part of the relationship. As long as, look, as long as you're connected, I mean, look, Gary's been doing it, you know, I mean, a lot of the big guys been doing it now. They're jumping.
Shit, Domino's Pizza does it.
What's that?
Domino's Pizza does it.
Domino's, yeah. But the thing is it's much more powerful. I think it's way more powerful. See, to me, if Domino's Pizza wanted to really step it up, have the freaking CEO step in front of a camera and say, hey, I personally want to connect with you.
Yeah.
That would be power.
Yeah.
That would be power to be connected with other, because otherwise it's like, well, there's Domino's Pizza. And then there's like, you know, then there's Papa Murphy's. And then there's, and it's like these faceless corporations. That's why people, whenever they're talking about brands, and I'm like, why is Apple Apple and Samsung Samsung? Some, you know, you could say their technologies are neck and neck. And you could say at one, you know, sometimes, you know, Samsung might exceed or Apple might exceed. Why one versus the other? Because the bottom line is Apple has the legacy of having been built on the genius of a visionary. And that we know is Steve Jobs.
Right.
And then we have other people. We have Tim Cook and others who do it. And we have all the various things. They humanized technology. Samsung, to whatever extent its technology has reached, it's still a faceless corporation. It's who wants a Samsung, right? So to me, there's nothing that will replace. I mean, Richard Branson, Virgin. You know, Gary Vaynerchuk, VaynerMedia, right? Vayner Sports, you know, VaynerX, whatever.
Right.
So you got these people, they humanize. You know, it's like Shark Tank. What's Shark Tank? Shark Tank is, you know, Mark Cuban, Damon John, you know, Mr. Wonderful, Barbara Corcoran, you know, and Herjavec. So it's like the human side cannot be, that is currency that's irreplaceable.
I love that. Now, look, I mentioned on purpose Domino's, and no disrespect, I'm not a huge Domino's fan, but what I did want your opinion on was their, and you probably are aware, their rebrand years ago, where they went on commercial, on camera, on radio, on internet, talking about their pizza was god-awful. It was like cardboard. It was the shittiest pizza known to man. Like, they weren't that vocal.
I love that. I love that campaign.
I love that campaign. I wanted to hear your opinion on that.
I love that campaign because, you know, the best brands are willing to be their own biggest threat. That right there, that you can take to the bank. That will literally add zeros to anyone who's listening to this. It will add zeros to their revenue, to their billing, to their value in the world because of this. It's like when Apple was first doing the iPad, the first iPad. Bang, they did, wrapped it, done, nailed it. Boom, 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 boom. Before they ever released it, what did Steve Jobs do? Show me the iPad 2. Show me the iPad 3. He was already ready to retire their great baby. And I call it the beautiful baby syndrome. Everyone's like in love with their freaking baby. And people say, and I'm the guy in the room who says, isn't our baby beautiful? Seen better. Not that good.
It's an old Seinfeld episode.
Yeah. Because that's the whole thing. It's like, man, be any brand that says, you know what, we've been doing this. We got lazy. We went on autopilot. We got complacent. No more. I have more respect for a brand that does that than a brand that's like, no, our stuff's always great. It's always cool. It's always this. It's always that. You know what? You're freaking human. And if you are not making mistakes, that means you're not exploring new territory. Growth involves new territory. Every day of the week, new territory means what? Oh, territory we're not familiar with. What does that mean? We got to try things out. What does that mean? Oh, there's risk. So you're going to tell me you're going to grow and have no risk? Well, then that's called death. That's why I never will allow an operations person to ever be connected with any rebrands I'm involved with, because operations person, all they know is, how can we spend less? How can we minimize? How can we increase efficiencies? But forget about the user experience. That's why we all hate those stupid menu trees when we actually get on the phone and I got to go through 14 freaking menu options. By the time I get an actual live person on the phone, I actually want to kill them. I actually want to, it's like, it's not you. It's just your freaking system. I hate you. Can I spew right. on you for a few minutes? And then so that you feel shitty for the rest of the day. And then we can get on with it. You know, it's like that kind of term.
True.
It's like, what the hell is that? Where's the efficiency?
I love it. And I assumed and hoped you'd have that same response about the Domino's question, because that was mine. And I'm no marketer for a living, but I love marketing. I went to school for marketing. And when I saw that and I see companies that are willing to shit on their own brand and just call a spade, I find that to be refreshing, transparent, authentic, whatever buzzword you want to use.
Yeah.
But speaking of, you talked about operations basically is going to kill it based on a budget, right? Yeah. You have an interesting definition of ROI, return on ingenuity. Can you talk about that for a minute? Because that's the polar opposite of what you would typically see of return on investment to me as a layman.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is any business that is vital, that is relevant, that is not losing its mojo, that isn't losing its sweet spot, any of those brands, they're all doing one thing. They share one common characteristic. They are innovating. They are willing to challenge the norm. They are willing to disrupt the usual. They're willing to say and close the door on, that's the way we've always done it. Well, to hell with the way we've always done it. Is today the same as 50 years ago? You're telling me the people have the same needs? You're telling me technology has the same needs? You're telling me the societal pressures and demands and shifts are the same as they were before? I don't care about that's the way we've always done it. The only thing that works for that's the way we've always done it is we've always innovated and never rested on our laurels. That would be the only acceptable that's the way we've always done it.
So I would imagine you you don't like, nor do I, the old expression of nobody ever got fired for hiring IBM, right? Thoughts on that exact expression? I'm sure you've heard a million times. Nobody got fired for hiring IBM. Well, that goes against everything you just talked about.
Well, that's correct. And the bottom line is if I don't, the greatest vendors, the greatest companies have an inordinate amount of self-awareness, self-criticism, self-pride, call it whatever the hell you want. But they're very, very, very astute to what they're doing, their role in the world, with a high dose of reality. Not like, oh, we are the greatest, blah, blah, blah. I'm not talking about self-aggrandizing crap. It's like, enough of that. We don't need that crap. What we need is, look, we strive to be the best blank, 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 blank. Good. How close are we to that? On a scale of 1 to 10, today, a 3. Good. What do we need to do to be a 5 tomorrow? Blah, 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 blah. Good. Let's do that. Good. Okay. We're a 5 tomorrow. Do we achieve 5? We got a 4.5. Okay. Who's closer? We didn't hit a home run. All right. What do we need to do? And if you have that honesty, that kind of honest, real, no bullshit approach, you will be unstoppable. I mean, you've got to be honest. You know, it's like, I oftentimes compare it to use certain metaphors and analogies. And here's an example. If I'm standing there on the basketball court shooting a three-pointer, and not only do I miss, my freaking ball is like, you know, 3 feet over. It doesn't even touch the rim. Does me saying that was a good shot alter what just happened? It does not. That shot sucked. It was the anti-swoosh. It was like it's so swooshed, it's swooshed clear of being anywhere near the rim. And so the thing is that's what's gotta happen. You gotta go, no, that shot sucked. What do I need to do to get it? You know, do I need to rotate my body? Do I need to take a millisecond more? Do I need to take a breath before what do I need to do? And if unless you have that honesty to ask, what do I need to do? The one that asks, what do I need to do, will make progress. The one who's like, that was a great shot, that sucker's days are numbered.
No, I that's a great way to look at it.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Rock Stars Rocking Podcast. If you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you consume podcasts. And if you feel so inclined, please leave us a review. 5 stars would totally rock. Until next time, rock stars, keep rocking.